Good to be here in the house of God again. I thank the Lord for every day for letting me get up, see another day beside the land of the living. And I appreciate what He's done for me. I don't have to worry about when I die, where I'm going, but I do want to fulfill my course with joy. And everybody that He's laid on my heart and put in my prayers, I want to see them get in before I leave this world. I know my mother, she prayed over us and labored over us, and she didn't get to see maybe my brother. I don't know. Like my brother said, he might have been saved when he was young. I don't know. But she didn't get that confirmation, but she knew that he would be. My brother Spencer I'm talking about, because her faithfulness and her love towards God, God honors prayer. And she prayed. And I know my brother's prayed for years for all of us and loved us and preached to us and gave us the Word of God. And I appreciate what I've learned from him from the time I got saved, and what my mother taught me before I got saved and after too, instilling the Word of God in my heart. And there's nothing like having your sins forgiven. And I was reading over in Psalms 103 one place this past week. I just want to read this because it was good to my heart. And, David said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And when you're saved and born again, we're benefited. And He takes care of us and watches over us. And He lists some things here. He said, He forgiveth all thine iniquities. He's washed us. He's cleansed us. He healeth all our diseases. He redeems our life from destruction. He crowns thee with loving kindness and with tender mercies. And we got crowns of love and His tender mercies upon our heads. He gave that to us. He shows us kindness and mercy. And He satisfies our mouth with good things, and so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. And when I got saved, since I've been saved, that's what He's fed me with, His Word. And it renews me day by day. That seed's on the inward man. And that Word is good to my soul. And I'm renewed day by day. And the Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. They got to see all the things that He did. But His ways, He spoke to Moses face to face. His man that stood in the gap and made up the hedge, He spoke to him and gave him the Word of God and instructed him personally. And He said, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He's not always going to rebuke and not stay angry with us. And He is angered at our sin when we fall to sin, and sometimes He has to rebuke us. But He's not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. As the saved, we would be in hell burning if He did forgive us what we had coming. But as far as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. He's taken everything that we did in the past, before we got saved, and He's put it away from us. As far as the east is from the west, that's an infinite removal, never to be brought to His remembrance again. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. And when a parent loves their children and they pity their child and they want to see the best for them and they're concerned about them, the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. And it's much more than that. He loves us more than we can love our own children. And we are His children. We belong to Him. When you've been saved, He knows our frame are dust, and remembereth that we our frame remembereth that we are dust. And as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. And today, if you're unsaved, you're like the Bible says here, man. Your frame is dust, and that's what God created us out of. He took a man, and I was reading that too this past week. He took a man, took the dust, and He formed a man, and out of the dust of the ground, and He made this man, and this man was lifeless. And God breathed into him the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And until God breathed into him, he had no life. And animals have life. They have the breath of life, but they have no soul. And man is more important than animals. Man has a living soul. And God created man in his own image, created he him. And male and female created he them. He made a man and a woman to be married. He performed this first ceremony in the Garden of Eden. And he created Adam a helpmeet. And as I was reading that, it touched my heart. He's seen Adam. He made him. He'd seen he was lonely. And he said that it's not good for man to be alone. So he took a rib out of his side and he made him a woman and brought a helpmeet to him. And it was love at first sight. And he closed that side up. He didn't leave a scar, but he closed the side up. And he took this rib out of this man and made him a woman and a helpmeet. And he knows that what our frames are. And day by day, this old frame is dying. And if you don't get your sins forgiven, you'll end up dying and going to hell. Our frames are dust. And we're here. We're flourishing one day, the flower of the field. And the next day the wind passes over. It's gone. And the place of it knoweth it no more. And I've said this before. My brothers even talked about it too. And back when I first got married, I remember it just seemed like no time at all. It's been almost 30 years. And those times that flew by, that was a good time. And I had my first daughter, and then I had the next, and the next, and the next, and I own 5 kids. But those times have flew by. And I look at myself in the mirror, and I'm not 20 years old anymore. I'm dying day by day. And if the Lord permits, he ain't back. However long he permits me to live, and I don't know how long that'll be, but I made my calling and election sure. I know where I'm going when I die. I know what the Lord done for me. There's no doubt in my mind, no doubt in my heart, and it's no doubt in my mind because of what's in my heart. And you got to know inside your soul, inside your heart, that you've been saved, that you passed from death into life. He gives you love for the brethren. He gives you love for his word. And when you receive his word, the engrafted word with meekness, he's able to save the soul. When you hear it, you don't kick against it. Years I kicked against the word of God. As a young boy, I mean, I was ignorant and dumb. I can't even say I was ignorant because I had the word of God given to me. I was just rebellious and a brat. I had it from a mother that loved the Lord. I had it from my brother back here. You know our pastor. To me, he's in these modern times, the greatest preacher there's been. I've never heard nobody else, and I'm not just saying that because he's my brother. You know it. The power of God's on him, like Brother Stacy said last week. Others have preached, and God's using them, and I feel the Spirit of God on them, but I've never heard God's power on anybody. And I've been to see others. I've seen Brother Edgar. God was using him. He was a God-called man, but I've not seen God's power on anybody like that. And I appreciate that, but as all that I heard, and as dumb as I was, the devil took hold of my mind and took advantage of me and led me out. And that's why I pity people. I'm not looking down on nobody, but my heart goes out. And I want to see you saved. You got to know this in your heart, not in your head. You can't go by what a man tells you. They told me I was okay. And even me knowing better for a little while, I thought, well, maybe I am. But it's like I said, as soon as I got home, I made a comment. The Lord let me speak that comment. And then my mother said, that don't sound right, son. Somebody that's saved and born again don't talk like that. I said, I guess I can do what I want to now. And she said, no, that's not right. That don't sound like you've been saved. Somebody's born again don't talk like that. You do what God tells you to do. And she was right, because when I really got born again, when I got my sins forgiven, the first thing I wanted to do was what he instructed me as I was sitting on my bench. I mean, he was talking to me. I'd never been spoken to. While he was drawing me, he was speaking, but he gave me clear instruction. In my mind, I was listening to my brother. And as he was closing out, and God was speaking, he said, you go home. You get all that out of your house. And I couldn't wait. Before, I didn't do it at all. I didn't go home and get the garbage out of my house because there was no change. But when I got saved, God said, you go home and get it out. And I was more than happy. I was overjoyed. I couldn't wait to get home. I can't remember good, but I know it pleased my mother when she walked in, because I got home before they did. I do remember that. I got in the house before they did, and because I couldn't wait to get home. And I got those bags and got all that garbage out of their house, and the Word of God was swelling up inside my soul, feeding me. And when you're born again, that's what happens. He feeds you, and you know it. It ain't just in your head. It ain't just a head knowledge and a lip service. Isaiah said, they worship me, these people, worship me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And when you really get born again, you love God. He puts a love for himself in you because the Holy Spirit's on the inside. You love this Word. I hated reading before I got saved. I did my schoolwork because I wanted to get out of school. But when they told me to read, I would skim through because I could not stand reading anything. But when I got born again, I couldn't get my nose and my face out of this Word. I loved it. There was nothing else like it. I carried my Bible everywhere with me. And where I couldn't, I had a little testament that my mom had gave me, or somebody gave me from way back, I still got a little red testament. I'd stick it in my pocket, and I'd take it in there and wherever I went and read it. And you love the Word of God. I loved everybody in the church. And that wasn't just liking them. I loved them. My heart went out when I got saved, it overjoyed my heart. And I always wanted to be around my brother. He was my hero, my new hero, and my mom. I wanted in my sister-in-law's. I seen it in them too. And it did something to my heart. And that's what, when you get born again, you love God's Word and His children. And then you're not, like my brother always said, you're just not fond of it. You love it. And you got to make it calling an election sure. You need to do that. You're getting on up in age. We all are. And you got to see for yourself that you need a Savior. Not somebody tell you something. I was thinking too. I went and seen Brother Edgar right after I got saved at a church over in Forest Park. And I knew when I sat into my brother, my eyes were wide open and I was receiving everything. I was listening every word, every detail. And I went and seen him. And it made me feel good because here's somebody else. I'd listen to him on the radio, but it made me feel good. Here's somebody else that's preaching the Word, because most people you hear on the radios, there were more back then, but there were so many that wasn't. But it was an honor. It was good inside my soul to hear somebody else. And as I sat there, I couldn't help it. I had a smile on my face, and I was listening. And when I got through, I didn't have to say anything. The church walked around as I shook his hand. I didn't hear him say that to nobody else. But he said, he bent down, he smiled at me. He said, "How you doing, brother?" That's because he seen the look on my face. He knew what was in my heart. He knew that I was listening and I was paying attention. And he knew, you could tell when somebody loves the Word of God. It's evident. And then I didn't go by that. I knew I was saved. There was no doubt in my mind. That was about, I think, a year after I'd been saved. But God made me know it. And you got to know this for yourself. Your frame's dust, and you're going to die. There's nothing we can do to get out of that appointment of death. You're going to die. And you got to have your sins forgiven if you want to get to heaven. It's as simple as that. God made it simple. And all you got to do is come to Him when you hear God's Word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You believe from the heart that God's raised Him from the dead, that He is the only one that can save you. And that's what God's Word puts, that faith in your heart. I knew who He was. I knew that He was a Savior. I had no doubt all my life. But until I got to that place where I was willing to give up the world and cry out to Him and beg mercy from a broken heart and a contrite spirit, like my brother said last week, godly Saul worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. My heart had godly sorrow. That's genuine. That's holy sorrow inside. That's godly sorrow. That's the truth. Sorrow that I had sinned. Not that things were going bad in my life. Not things were going wrong. But I had sorrow in my heart that I was a sinner. And I was ashamed of myself. I'm not just talking. When I came to church that night, I had heaviness on me. And I was embarrassed about my life. God had convicted me through God's Word. I was ashamed. I come into the church. I just held my head down just about the whole time. I was listening. But my head was down, and my brother preached what God gave him. God gave to me. That was my message that night. And God sent me the message about the rich man. I was at the door. I was at the threshold of getting saved. I wanted it, but the devil was fighting me. And then when I heard that, my heart was already broke. I just came down to the altar and I poured out my heart. I didn't care what nobody thought anymore. And like I tell the little people at the homes, God understands if you can't get out of your chair and then on your knees, He don't expect that. He wants you to be on the knees of your heart, sorrowful that you sinned. And that's what I did. I got down and I begged mercy. I didn't say nothing out loud, but I said, God, have mercy on me. Don't let me die in this condition. I'm sorry. I'm ashamed. I don't want to die and go to hell. Forgive me where I sin. Have mercy upon me, O Lord. And that's all it took. And I felt it when He came into my heart. And I got up and I knew something was different. Everything seemed so wonderful. Everything seemed so good. And it was. It was a different, whole different life for me. Because He put His Spirit inside my heart, lit me up on the inside, and gave me eternal life, peace, and joy. And things were wonderful. And He said, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His covenant, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His thrones in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. There's people that think that they're in charge, but they really don't know. They don't understand that God controls everything. And bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord and all ye His host, ye ministers of His that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And I was also, I wanted to read a little bit too, because I was thinking on this as I was standing yesterday and speaking. I was nervous, and then that first part of that little book, it was words and it was good. I felt good about that, but I was nervous. And then when I got down to God's word, the second or third paragraph, it started talking about the marriage of Cana of Galilee. There was God's word, and the other didn't do it. But when I got to that part, my heart swole up. And that's when I felt the presence of God and my nervousness left. That's what God's, it wasn't in my Bible, but His word was pinned down, written down on that little piece of paper. And it swole up in me and I felt it. My heart was overwhelmed. And then after that, I read a little bit more about love. And as I was reading it, my heart just was overwhelmed inside of me. And a lot of people, a lot of good-hearted people, people have different issues. Some people have more problems than others. Some are, I know some, and they're good moral people there, and good-hearted people. I mean, they're kind to people, but they're not saved. They don't know the Lord as their personal Savior. They've never heard the gospel in reality, and they've never known Him as their personal Savior. They go to church, and they've heard somebody stand. They may have heard somebody on the TV or whatever, but they don't know about real salvation, and they're empty on the inside. And as I was standing, I was thinking, that's what everybody's missing here, that's not saved. They're missing the peace that God gives. That's why they do these things. That's why they go and do things that they do. And they're empty. And I was the same way, believe me. I don't look down on nobody. That what they do and everybody else does is their own business. And ain't none of my business. God knows I'm telling the truth. I don't think on nobody's issues. I got enough to deal with on my own. And I have to cry out every day, God, have mercy on this old wretch. I'm vile, I stink, I'm wretched, I'm rotten, and I'm just good enough to shoot, but ain't worth the bullet. And that's the truth. This flesh, it stinks, and I don't look down on nobody. I want to help them, no matter who they are or what they are. Like I tell them at the homes, I don't care what your monetary status is, what your social status is, what you look like, whether you be thin or heavy or what your color is or anything. That don't matter to me. I want to see you saved. I want to see you in heaven. And I ask the Lord, and I don't ever feel worthy to stand anywhere. And the only reason I want to stand in my heart is because I want to help somebody. If I can't help nobody, I might as well just sit down and keep my mouth shut and not say anything. Even in my daily conversation, when I'm dealing with people, I try to keep my mind where it needs to be, not to bruise them, but to help them. If I can get up and do something, and I'm not necessarily talking about telling them about the Lord. Our lives are living epistles known and read of all men. But if I can just get up and help them do something, with a good attitude, not trying to be a pleased man, but in God's sight, have a good attitude. They asked me to do it. Yeah, if you're not my boss, you ask me to do something. I have people all the time. They're not my boss, but they ask, hey, will you go do this? I said, yeah, I sure will. What do you need? And I go do it because I want to see that person saved. I want to see them born again. And they need help, and they've never heard. They're not like us. I know that Brother Rolaw, Brother Green, Brother Edgar, all those men of God that's gone on now, their churches, they know they had somebody real, and they loved him. I know they loved their pastor, and we love ours. But those men have gone on, and I don't see hardly anybody really preaching anymore. But a lot of those people, I'm sure, got saved under these men. But there's hardly anybody really preaching anymore. I wish they were. I'm not being critical, but I wish there was more men of God out there that was standing and they were really preaching. But most of them are hirelings, wolves in sheep's clothing. They don't care nothing about the flock. When the wolf comes, they're gone. And they could care less about their flock. They're there for a salary and or whatever. They're there for fame or whatever. But they need to get their sins forgiven themselves. And the blind can't lead the blind. They'll all fall into a ditch. And John talked about this over here as I was reading. He talks about the flesh in the first part. He said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If you say you have no sin today, you deceive yourself. And the truth's not in you. That's talking about the flesh. And if we confess our sins, he goes on to say, he's faithful and just to forgive us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's talking to saved people. We say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, his word's not in us. And we have a propitiation with him that for our sins, that he is our propitiation. He's our mediator between God and man. And if a saved child of God falls to sin, which we do, the thoughts of foolishness is sin, he's there to forgive us if we confess and get honest about it. But on the other hand, and then he talks about, in chapter 3, he's talking about the soul. He's saying that, and whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. That seed remains. And Peter talks about that, the seed that was being born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible by the word of God that lives and abides forever. When you get saved and born again, that seed gets put inside the heart. It gets put inside the soul. When you cry out to him and beg mercy, you become a partaker of him. You eat of his flesh. You drink of his blood. And he's put the commandments are put inside. We can't keep God's commandments. Even being saved, I can't keep all God's word, but it's kept inside of me. He keeps me. And it's put inside my soul. And that's why I love his word. And we try our best to do it, but we still fall to sin. But inside the soul, he keeps us. When you get saved, he washes you and cleanses you in his own blood. And he seals us with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. Perfects the conscience. We're forgiven. All that's taken away. And puts the peace and the joy on the inside. And he said, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, and neither know him. And little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous. And some of the Christian, a good tree can't bring forth evil fruit. Evil tree can't bring forth good fruit. And some 30, some 60, some 100-fold, talking about a child of God. But he that doeth righteousness is righteous, because the only way you can do righteousness and do what God says is to be saved and born again, have the righteous part in your heart. You can't please God. In the flesh, we can't please God. And the carnal mind is enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So we see that they are in the flesh, cannot please God. And he that committeth sin is of the devil. And for the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was made manifested. He was made known that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. That's talking about in the heart. That's not talking about in the flesh. He went over the flesh in the first part. But when you say, and he's in the heart, that soul cannot commit sin. He cannot sin because he is born of God. And the soul, in the heart, is in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither is he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore he slew him, because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. And I was looking at that, and God spoke to him And he brought up what God did not require. Abel, Brother Abel was talking about that last week, and he brought up what God did not require. And then his brother brought what God did require because he was saved. He believed God, and he knew what God required. He brought up a blood sacrifice. But Cain brought of his own works. He brought of his own flesh, what he did, what he thought was right. And he brought them up. And then when God didn't accept it, he had his countenance fell. And God asked him, he said, "Why are you so wroth?" He was very wroth. He was very angry, mad. And God said, "Why are you so wroth? And why does your countenance fall?" Because he was condemned. He didn't do what God told him to. He wasn't saved. He had condemnation on him. And he didn't pay attention to what God gave him another. He said, if you do what's right, you'll be accepted. And today, if you do what's right, God will accept you. If you repent and come to God just like you are and beg mercy according to what God has to say, and that's a broken heart and a contrite spirit. It ain't according to works of the law. It's according to a broken heart and a contrite spirit, offering up to God what he wants. And that's your giving him your all, willing to give it all up and turn it all over and want him above life itself. That's all it takes. That's what he wants. And that's what he wanted out of Cain. He wanted him to realize that he's a sinner, but he was wrong. And he asked him. He was condemned. And then when he slew his brother, he gave him a smart aleck answer. He said, "Where's your brother?" He said, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper? I've thought about that many times, talking to the Creator like that." He had a lot of nerve. You have to be a sinner to talk to God like that. But I hope God forgave him. I believe he did. He said, "This is more than I can bear." He said, "I'm going to be separated from you and from everything. I'm going to have to go out here." So God put a mark upon him so nobody would kill him. I hope he got his sins forgiven. I can't hardly in my mind think where he wouldn't, where he spoke to God and God speaking to him. But I hope he did. But today, God's speaking to you, to your heart. And he wants you to be saved. He wants you to be born again. He loves you. He did everything he could to bring us back to the Father. And he gave his own life freely, beaten and smitten, stricken a man, bruised, battered, tortured. Everything they could do to kill him, you better believe they did. You better believe they put it to him. The demons of hell in their minds, they hated him. He said, "They hated me without a cause." And here he was, the Son of God. And here was the demons' chance to beat him and flog him and bruise him. Everything they could do, they put it to him. He had flesh he was born under a woman made under the law, in a body just like we have. He felt all that pain. And they took and they in different places. First it started out, and I don't care if they were high priests or not, supposed to be godly men. They weren't godly. I know they beat him. He went to the high priest first, and then I think to his father-in-law, or he went one of the two first and then to the other. You better believe they beat him. And they were vile. They were demonic. And then they took him over and they took him to the judgment hall. I know that he wanted to let him go. And he knew he was a man of understanding. And he didn't want to do what they wanted to do. He found no fault in this man, and he had some common sense. He wasn't saved, but he had common sense. He sent him over to Herod, and I believe Herod beat him too. His men, those men of war, they didn't care about nobody but themselves. They didn't believe in nothing. These were Gentiles. They just liked, the soldiers just liked to do what they wanted to do with people. And by the time he got back, he was ripped apart. And then he said, "I'm washing my hands of this." He said, "You do what you got to do." He said, "But I have nothing to do with this." His wife had a dream, and she said, "Don't have nothing to do with this man, this righteous man. Leave it alone." And she said, "I've suffered many things in a dream this day." And sent word to him. And then he said he went out again multiple times. He kept saying, "Let me let you take him." And they said, "No, we want Barabbas." And that's what the high priest and all the leaders were putting in their hearts and in their minds, rousting them up. They were there putting that in their minds. So they cried out, we want Barabbas. We want somebody that's a murderer. He was a murderer and he was a thief. And I believe the two thieves were in it with him too. I don't know that they actually did the murder. I know he did. But They went and they got their punishment, but Barabbas, the mastermind of all of it, went free. And they let him go. And then they took the Lord. And then they did more to him again and sent him out. And he couldn't hardly walk. He was in the same body we have, torn apart. And he fell under the load of the cross. So they compelled one Simon a Cyrenian to take up that cross and bear it up. He went on up Golgotha's hill. And there he laid down his life. And you can't add nothing to it. You can't take anything away from it. God's word is forever settled in heaven. It's pure and it's holy. And it don't matter what people say, what denomination they are, what they think about it. They wrestle with the scriptures unto their own destruction. You cannot do anything to add to God's word. He said, "All that come unto me, I'll in no wise cast out. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved." For God, and this is probably the most well-known verse in the Bible. "For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And that belief is not with the mind, it's with the heart. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And when you believe from the heart that God has raised him from the dead, and you believe that you've got to come, like David said, "He's nigh to them that be of a broken heart, and save as such as be of a contrite spirit. Godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation," not to be repented of. When you're godly sorrow in your heart, that works repentance inside of your heart. And that's what it did. I was sorrowful, and I was ashamed. And that's all I had to do was come down the altar. And that godly sorrow in my heart, it worked that repentance up. I was crying out of my heart. I mean, I never said, like I said, I ain't saying nothing out loud. But I was, "God, have mercy on me. I've had enough. Forgive me. Please, don't let me die. I'm miserable." All this, and I was wore out with the devil. I was wore out with all the things I'd been doing. And I was sick of sin, tired of myself. And I needed help. And I didn't care about anything anymore but getting my sins forgiven. That's all it took. It was simple. And God made the transaction right then and there because I brought what he required. And I got up a brand new creature in Christ. Old things passed away. All things become new. He sealed me with his Holy Spirit, put the seed inside. The seed that he made Abraham a promise, "And thy seed shall all nations be blessed." And that was the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ, right on down from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right on down to the lineage of David, and then right on down to Mary. Mary bore the seed. She was of the lineage of David, and she bore the seed. And God spoke to her about that, and she accepted it with gratitude. And she was a godly woman. I guess the most godly at that time she had to be, because that's who God chose. And she bore the seed of the Most High. Never knew a man, virgin born. She said, "How shall this thing be?" And he said, "The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow you." And she said, "Just let it be." I forget the exact words, but that's what, it ain't coming to my mind right now. But she said, that's good with thine handmaiden. And she was happy. And even though she was a spouse to another man, and he was a godly man, and God spoke to him and told him that don't worry, that this thing's of the Lord. And they went on, and he took her as his wife after the Lord was born, and they had other children. And I appreciate what God's done and what he did for us. But you're not going to add anything to it. Nobody is. They're not going to take away from it. And you got to come like the Lord says, or you don't come at all. And you come when he calls and speaks to your heart. Today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time when he's dealing with you. And you can come and get your sins forgiven just like anybody else. Nobody's better than nobody else. And I tell them that in the homes. I said, don't let nobody tell you, come around you and tell you that they're better than you. And don't let them tell you that anything else about anything like that. We all in the same boat. We all stink. I'm here to tell you today, here's the master of stink right here, Mr. Nobody. And I'm glad. I thought this past week it come to my mind, I'm like a big old trash bag that's full of garbage, and somebody went out and took a big old pearl of great price and stuck it in the middle of that garbage bag and sealed it back up. That's what I am. And I have no shame to say it. I don't run after sin. That's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about my flesh. It stinks. And I don't, like I said, I don't look down on nobody. And nobody has to worry about me thinking that I'm better than them. And the only reason I ever want to stand is because I want to help somebody.
I want to see you saved. I want to see you have the same gift as what I have in my heart. And God gives it. He'll give it to you. And all you got to do is meet His requirements. And they're very simple. And that's a broken heart and a contrite spirit. He said, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. And again, that's in the soul. That's in the heart. You can't sin. In this, the children of God are made known, manifest, the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteous, not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that he heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain who slew his brother, and he was evil, his brother righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you, we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And there was some yesterday, and one I was surprised. He reacted. He come up and told me that he said that was good. And this man, I don't think he's ever heard anything. He said that was good, and he shared something with me. He said, "Is that thing on?" Well, I had that speaker on my lapel. I said, "No, sir." I turned it off. He didn't want nobody hearing it. And he said most people, and I'm not boasting on me. I'm thankful that he said he listened. I was a little concerned about him, but he said, that's different than what most people say. He said, most people can say things that don't mean nothing. I said, yes, sir, I'm not much anything, but I said, I felt the Lord when he spoke, and I said, that's what makes a difference. I said, I could stand up here and say what I wanted to and wouldn't amount to nothing. But I said, when God speaks and his word, I said, that's what amounts to everything. But there was some, I've been praying over a lot of them for a long time. One little lady, y'all don't know where she's not. She's from somewhere else, from the school. But I've been praying for a long time. She's never heard before. Because when I got, normally she greets me and speaks to me kindly. She wasn't ugly, but she was a little convicted. She didn't know what to say. But I spoke to her just like I always did, trying to make her comfortable. Because I've been praying for her. She's on up in age. And I've been praying for her for a long time. And I want to see her in heaven. And she's a good little lady, good moral lady. Takes care of her family, loves her family. And I heard a lot of good things about her. From what I'm seeing, she's just as sweet as can be. But she's lacking inside her soul. And she's looking for peace. Just like the ones that were there that have other issues. A lot of them they love to drink. And I understand that. I did too. And it don't take no time when you're at somewhere where they have booze. It just pop the top, start passing them around. But I did the same thing. Went straight for it before I got saved. And I understand completely. That's their business. I don't look down on them for it. When they get saved, God will wipe all that away and everything else they've done. They'll be a brand new person. I mean, they'll be new. And that desire won't be there anymore. They may partake of it. They may go and do it. But that desire's gone. When I got saved, I had no taste. I didn't like it to begin with. The alcohol. I drank it because I had to get past that first phase where this was numb, where I didn't taste anything because I wanted the effect. But they'll be the same way. They won't want it anymore, and the desire will be gone, because when God washes you, He takes all that desire away. Everything you've ever done in your past, He forgives you for, and He takes anything that's not right. He perfects the conscience. He perfects the heart. Otherwise, the Holy Spirit couldn't live there. And He takes that desire away, and you never are the same. He said, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby we perceive the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. When you get saved, you love the brethren, and you love God's word. But whosoever hateth this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shut up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My children, let us love in word, not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And he talks about that too, James talks about that pure religion and undefiled is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. When you're really born again, you're not interested in getting out and having a good time and doing things of the world. Not inside the soul, you're not. Your flesh does. And you can give place to those things. But in your heart, you want to help people. You want to see other people have what you got. And I want to see that today. If you never had your sins forgiven, I want to see you in heaven. And I'm no better than anybody. I'm no better than you are. I just know what God's gave me inside my soul. As unworthy as I was and still am, He put His Spirit inside of me. And I'm going to see Him for myself one day. And I hope everybody gets in. Like I said, no matter what their social status is, what they're partaking of in life, what other people look down on people. I see it all the time at where I work, how they look down on people and talk about people. And because they're heavy or they're skinny or they're maybe not an attractive person, and I'm not being critical, this is what they're saying. I don't care what somebody looks like. Their soul is important. They could be the ugliest person in the world. They still have a soul. When they're looking out from inside out, they feel the same way you do. They have the same feelings. They have the same emotions. And it hurts them in their hearts when people mistreat them. And people need help. They don't need bruising. They need help. And nobody can help anybody outside of God. And I hope today that you'll repent and come to yourself somewhere. Let God deal with your heart. And young or old, you're not promised till tomorrow. You don't know what a day may bring forth. And we all can get into any kind of sin, saved and unsaved, because this flesh is vile and it's rotten. But there is one, the conquering seed, that came and gave His life for us and bruised and smitten of the world. In the volume of the book, He said, "Is written of me, I've come to do Thy will, O God. A body hast Thou prepared me." And that body was given and tore apart. It was a sacrifice. He talked about don't leave. And when He told Moses, He told them, He said it was representing what was to come. On the 10th day, put it up. 14th day, take it and roast it with fire. Don't boil it. He said, and if you take it, there's the house is too big. And He said, you take and you, too big, you take and you combine people. But He said, don't leave none of it till the morning. And He told him, He said, you take that blood and you put it on the side post and little post of your door. He said, have your shoes on. Have your loins girded, your staff in your hand. He said, don't go out at night. You don't go out in the darkness. But when that light comes, you're coming out. The death angels are going to pass over, because when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And they went out, just like God said. And they went out that morning, and they had borrowed from the Egyptians. God said, you borrow from them, you take things, you go ask them. He said, I'm going to put in their hearts to give it to you. They've abused you. They've done everything in the world. They've worked you to death. He said, they owe you. Now you go borrow from them. And they loaded them up. And then the Bible said it was so swift they couldn't put no leaven in their bread. They forced them out. That's like Moses said, we're going out of here this time. And God said, you're going out. And they borrowed. They didn't have time to give nothing back. They pushed them out in such a hurry. And because of what happened, there wasn't a person in the whole land of Egypt and that didn't have somebody dead in their house. The firstborn of every household died where the blood wasn't. And today it come to my mind too, in the past, if you're firstborn, born once of the flesh, you never had the second birth, you're going to die. If you don't have the blood covering, you're going to die and go to hell. And that's the way they were. They had the firstborn die, and they pushed them out, and they took all that with them. God repaid them that part and took them out of the Egyptian bondage. And when you get saved, He brings you out of, spiritually speaking, Egyptian bondage, out of the bondage of sin, and gives you liberty, sets you at liberty, puts peace and joy in your heart. And they had peace. They had joy from being relieved from all their duties that they had. But a lot of them, when they got in the land, they did not stick to God's word like He told them. They murmured, they complained, and wanted to kill Moses many times. And because of that reason, because of an evil heart of unbelief, even after all that God brought them out and all those things they witnessed, and they seen His acts, but His ways was made known to Moses. And God brought them out with a mighty and outstretched arm. And because of an evil heart of unbelief, even most of them, everything they seen, all those plagues through the whole land didn't touch the Israelites, didn't touch them at all. And until the last one, they had to have preparation, because you can't get out of death. You cannot get out of death. And God sent and gave them a way out, and that was through the blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. But most of these people died in their sin because they had an evil heart of unbelief. They never come to the point of belief. They didn't get into the promised land, and they died. Those that were 20 and under went in. Moses, God took him on out. Joshua led the children of Israel on in, and they conquered a lot of the land there. Not all, but a lot of it, because Joshua was like a lot like Moses. He was a believer. The captain of the host made himself known to him, came to him personally and told him. And he said, "Are you for Israel? Are you for the captain? Are you for God?" He said, "I'm the captain of the host." He said, "Take off your shoes. Where you're standing is holy ground." And he instructed him and told him what to do. And he took him on in because he believed. And God used him. But today you got to have your sins forgiven. There's no other way around it. There's no getting into heaven outside of salvation. And I want to see you in heaven. And I appreciate it. I love y'all. And y'all keep praying for me, please. And keep praying for the homes and my buddy. I'm going to call him back again. And I want to see him saved. If he ain't, the little fella I told y'all had stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And I don't want him to die without the Lord. If he is, that's wonderful. He's ready to go. And I hope he is. I'm not being critical. I'm looking for the salvation of his soul. But I appreciate y'all. Love y'all. Thank you for listening.